9. The Young Londoners Exploratory Society. Modo smoothed a few more creases from the front of his coat and wondered if the men he was about to meet would notice that it wasn't as finely stitched as theirs. He hoped the lights would be dim. He would have worn a top hat, but he had yet to find an affordable one. A collapsible, spring-loaded hat, like the ones gentlemen wore to the opera, would be perfect. He could slip it into his haversack and pop it open whenever he needed it. He knocked again. The door opened an inch to reveal a single red-veined eye.
"What do you want?" a gruff voice said.
"I'm here to attend the meeting. I do apologize for being tardy, sir. My driver had great difficulty finding the address. In fact, I was in such a hurry I left my hat in my carriage." The eye didn't blink.
"And your name is?"
"Robert Peterkin," Modo said without hesitation. "I'm an associate of Mr. Oscar Featherstone. I'm sorry, am I at the correct address? This is 22 Balcombe Street, is it not?"
"That is the address."
The eye still hadn't blinked. "I apologize if I'm not following the usual protocol. Yesterday I met Mr. Featherstone at the Crystal Palace. I'm an acquaintance of his sister." At the mention of Audrette, the man raised his eyebrow. "We attend the same painting courses. She is a very fine painter. In any case, I had a most pleasant discussion with Mr. Featherstone, and I expressed my interest in scientific discovery and the exploration of—" Modo wished he'd asked Audrette what exactly the society explored. "The sciences. Mr. Featherstone mentioned your society and invited me to attend a meeting. Have I come at a bad time?"
"No."
The eye finally blinked, and the door opened into a gloomy foyer. Modo hoped he was properly put together. His hair. He'd completely forgotten his hair. Had he grown it to an appropriate length? He put his hand to his head and was relieved to find a thick mop. He patted it into place as he stepped into the house and watched the man lock the door behind him. The man had dark hair and mutton chops and intense, steady eyes.
"Please forgive me, Mr. Peterkin. I haven't introduced myself. I'm Edwin Furr, head of the Young Londoners Exploratory Society. We are an official branch of the Society of Science. As it turns out, you aren't late for the meeting. We have been delayed. Please follow me."
Modo fell in behind Furr. Even in his transformed state, he was dwarfed by the man, who led Modo down a hallway. His gait was jerky, as though transporting his bulk was difficult. Modo heard an odd hissing sound, but couldn't identify its source. They passed three pairs of India rubber boots. One pair was grey with mud, and the smell of sewage emanated from it. Modo breathed through his mouth. He noticed that Fur's pants were splashed with brown matter around the knees. It hadn't rained in a few days. Perhaps he had been mucking about in the garden, though Modo couldn't picture this particular man clipping vines and pulling weeds.
"We are gathering in here," Fur said, opening a door and directing Modo inside a small library,
where three young gentlemen sat on a bench, talking animatedly. At the sight of Modo, they paused, looked him over with some curiosity, then resumed their conversation. Behind them, standing motionless, was a man almost as large as Fur. In the shadows at his feet sat a big, keen-eyed foxhound with an unnaturally bulky head. Its eyes followed Modo. None of these people was Oscar Featherstone. Had he made a mistake?
"Mr. Featherstone is in the atrium," Fur said, as though reading Modo's mind. "We shall join him shortly. He is setting up a telescope."
He raised his hand to signal the other hulking man to open the door into the atrium. Once again, Modo noted the jerky motion of Fur's arm, followed by a slight hiss. The noise was coming from Fur himself. Everyone filed into the atrium, blocking Modo's view of the room. He began to follow them, but Fur put a hand on his shoulder. It tightened like a vice.
"Not yet, Mr. Peter Crone."
"It's Peterkin," Modo replied, trying unsuccessfully to extricate himself from Fur's grip.
"My apologies, young sir."
"Peterkin."
Yes. I need you to fill out some declaration forms, please. The discoveries of the Society are not for public consumption. At least, not yet.
He released Modo and patted his back with a hand solid as iron. Forms? Yes, of course. I'll gladly fill them out.
They're in here.
Fur guided him to a candlelit table in the corner of a small, windowless room.
Read them very carefully, then sign.
Yes, sir. The table was littered with papers and various maps. One map was of London, and it had several circled areas. Modo heard a click on the other side of the room, but at that moment a paper stamped with the symbol of a clock face in a triangle caught his eye. On the same page was a schematic that looked like a drawing of a machine with legs, of all things. With the expertise of a magician, he rolled up the paper with one hand and tucked it into his sleeve. Under the drawing was a set of papers labelled Minutes of the Young Londoners Exploratory Society. He skimmed it. Citizen Fur in the chair. Members present, citizens Boone, Saxe Coburg, Courney, Icarius, Featherstone, Hales, Glynn, and Yarrow. The minutes of the preceding meeting having been read and confirmed. Saxe Coburg. That name he'd read in the paper. It had something to do with the royals, but he couldn't remember what. Modo was about to roll up the minutes when he recalled a lesson Tharper had drilled into him. Never turn your back to your enemy. Such a simple rule, and he had already forgotten it.
I'm sorry, sir, but there don't seem to be any forms, Modo said, turning to catch Fur locking the door to the library.
Modo guessed the click he'd heard had been the other door being locked too, and he cursed himself for being so stupid.
You won't need to sign any forms, Peterkin, Fur said. This is not an organization you can be invited to join. Every member is chosen by me.
Chosen, Modo repeated. Oh, I see. I have unwittingly overstepped the boundaries of propriety. I deeply regret my error. Though he kept his voice calm, his eyes darted left and right, looking for a way out. Fur glared at him openly.
Who sent you?
There was another hiss, and his shoulders shifted and enlarged slightly. Modo couldn't make sense of what he was seeing.
No one. As I told you, I met Mr. Featherstone
at the Crystal Palace, I remember. But Mr. Featherstone was with me all day yesterday. So your supposed meeting could not have happened.
Oh, I remember now.
Modo banged the heel of his hand on his forehead.
It was actually 2 days ago, with his sister.
Rubbish!
Fur bellowed, and Modo shuddered.
Mr. Featherstone is an only child.
Only child? But I...
Was the man lying? He had to be. Audrette was real. She had come to his door, had been only inches from him. Or had Modo misunderstood her? Was she a cousin? No. Sister. She'd said sister. Maybe she'd lied about their relationship and was romantically linked with Featherstone. But why would she mislead him? Fur tightened his fist and lumbered closer.
Who sent you? Tell me, boy.
His shoulders continued to swell, pressing against the fabric of his jacket. A metallic clinking could be heard from under the garment.
No one sent me. I...
Liar!
Fur's face twisted with anger. Modo thought he saw mist rising from his collar, and then from the buttonholes of his suit coat. The hissing grew louder. Modo stepped back, bumping the table.
Steam. It was steam.
Fur grabbed Modo's collar.
You will tell me who sent you, boy, if I have to break every bone in your body.
But, sir, have mercy, Modo cried out. Have mercy.
No one will hear you. They are gone. Now answer my question.
Yes.
Modo flailed about until his hand hit a coat rack. Tharper's voice came to him. Anything can be a weapon. The thick wooden pole would be hard enough to brain someone.
Modo grabbed it and swung at Fur's temple, but Fur lifted his forearm and the pole broke in two. Fur punched Modo in the chest, and Modo grunted. It felt like his ribs had caved in. Steam geezered out of the seams of the giant's clothing. He swung his massive arm again, and Modo caught hold of it. Fur slammed him up against the wall. Modo wrenched himself away, ripping the sleeve from Fur's jacket. Modo's jaw dropped. The arm was made of metal. Pistons pushed back and forth between steel bones, the steam pumping out of holes in narrow iron plates. Fur swung yet again. Modo ducked, and the man's fist pounded a hole in the wall. Modo shuddered. What such a blow would do to his skull? Fur grabbed Modo by the neck, the metallic fingers closing around his windpipe.
Stop!
Modo gasped, looking for some way to distract the man. Fur squeezed tighter, until Modo could no longer breathe.
You should not have interfered in our affairs, he said.
In a last, desperate act, Modo jammed his feet against the wall and lunged forward with all his strength, breaking free of Fur's grip. Gagging and coughing, Modo found himself in the center of the room. He stumbled, then ran, threw himself at the nearest door, hoping and praying his strength and speed would be enough to break it down. He hit it hard with his shoulder and, accidentally, his head. He heard a crack, but the door didn't budge. Modo crumpled to the floor as darkness blotted out all thought.